muss mir noch eins singen, dann geht schon. Okay, 3, 2, 1. Herzlich willkommen bei Sprechgesang, dem österreichischen Chormusik-Podcast. Wir sind wie immer Simon Erasimus und Sebastian Taschner. Wir haben heute etwas ganz Besonderes für euch, nämlich eine kleine Konzerteinführung. Am 16. September haben wir uns eine Uraufführung aufs Programm genommen. In St. Pölten werden wir ein neues Stück von Adam Johnson aufführen, namens The North Sea. Adam Johnson, britischer Komponist, ist uns jetzt zugeschaltet und wird uns etwas über das Stück und seine Arbeitsweise erzählen. Hi there, Adam.
Hi, how are you?
We're good, thank you very much. Where are you joining us from, Adam?
I'm joining you from the northeast of the UK, near Newcastle and Northumberland, which is very close to the North Sea.
Right, the North Sea, which is also the name of the piece that we're actually going to perform. Do you want to say a few words about the piece? What's your basic thoughts about the piece are, or what's the first thing that comes to mind?
Yes, I'm because I was brought up by the sea. I grew up by the sea, and particularly the North Sea. I'm always inspired by the sea and also the music of Benjamin Britten, which features a lot in the style that I'm now writing in, very sort of the patterns that he used and the grammar, musical grammar that he composed in. It speaks very clearly to me. And with this piece, The North Sea, I've used the poem and the poetry of Heinrich Heine, who, of course, Schubert used a great deal. And even I've quoted Amir at the very end of the piece. It closes with a little chorale of that song by Schubert.
Wow, very, very nice, yeah.
Adam, there's one thing I'm quite curious about. Studying your piece, I thought about your writing style. And your writing style, to me, is very centered in triads, in tonal structures, which is not that often the case in modern music. So my question for you is, was this always your style, or is it something that evolved over the years? And why is it that you use so much tonal structures in your pieces? Because for the audience, of course, it's quite pleasant for the ear, also for the singers. But why did you choose to write in this particular style?
It was vital because I wanted this piece to speak to not only the choir, but also to the audience. And I, as a composer, I've worked in a much more avant-garde style before. And a lot of the time, it's almost forgettable. People walk out and they can almost hear a sonority at the end, but it doesn't really stay a lot of the time. You need to listen to it again and again. And what I wanted to do with this piece is to make sure people relate to what they're hearing immediately, but also the space in between motifs. There's a lot of space, a lot of rests in this piece because I wanted to try and create the sense of the vast element of the sea. So there's a lot of time where the music is punctuated by a lot of rest, a lot of space for the sonority of the venue to work with what the choir is singing.
While we're on the point of that, in the piece you use, in part, like very small note values, I'm thinking, you know, dotted quavers and triplets and even demi-semi quavers, which incidentally is my new favorite word of the whole English language, demi-semiquaver. So you use these rather short note values, combine them with some sort of unusual rhythmic choices, like setting triplet against quintuplet and stuff, and create a sort of like even unsettling, softly rocking at times rhythm. Is that something you do often, or is that like very special to that piece? Do you want to convey something with this?
Yeah, it's very special to this piece. I wanted to convey that rolling sense, but also a huge influence in this music, in this piece, is folk music, and particularly sea songs, sea shanties, as we call them here. I was brought up with listening to sea shanties as I lived by the sea, and there is a big thing on TikTok at the moment called the Weller Man. And it's a guy singing these folk songs. And a lot of those rhythms are dotted, but they're with a strong pulse behind them. And certainly in this piece, we not only have a sailor's song as the second movement, but we also have a pirate song as the third movement. So I brought that element in as well.
And a question regarding the text. How did you choose the text for the individual movements? Is there a storyline behind the whole piece, or are these just four scenes beside each other, not really connecting? Or is this a bigger story, a bigger picture?
Well, in part, yes. The first movement has O Thalatta, the salutation to the sea. And I thought, well, that has to be the first movement, certainly. And because the beginning of the piece is very strong musically, I've used that as a motif throughout the entire work. So you still get Thalatta as the motif, which is a thread which goes through the piece. But as a story, not particularly. There were some pieces, particularly for the pirate song, I had to be very careful which text I used rhythmically so that it would work. Because quite often with that dotted rhythm, some poetry wouldn't have worked. So I had to choose that very carefully.
Since you're talking about motifs here, is there like a sort of naturalistic approach to the way you choose those motifs? Is there something like that represents the sea or I don't know, or the pirates? Or...
Yes, I mean, certainly with the sailor's song, the motifs in the ostinato in the lower voices came in very strongly because I wanted that sense of pulse, that sense of how the sea rolls. And I wanted to make sure that was conveyed musically. So that was a bit of a choice. Everything else I wanted to have just more space.
Okay, Adam, maybe you could tell us something about how you used the different like voice sections a bit, in a sense of range maybe, or what your understanding is of these voice sections.
Yes, I grew up, in my training, I had a lot of choral training. I was a cathedral singer, a cathedral chorister. So I've been brought up with choral music all my life. And I've conducted choirs and I'm now a repetiteur for opera. So I'm kind of pushing the boundaries of singing, and there's a lot of different techniques I've put into this piece, some fun techniques in the sailor's song particularly, and also various things of stamping your feet, tongue clicking is something I've put in. I sort of wanted to create different percussion at the same time as a different timbre to how the choir would sound. But it's difficult. One thing when you're writing a choral piece is to make sure it's not always in the same formation. I'm trying to take it out of tonic position or root position and switch things around sometimes to lift it. Otherwise, it can be quite bass heavy. Mm-hmm. It's certainly apparent in the Sailor's Song and in the Pirate's Song.
Since you yourself are, as you said, a singer, a conductor, a great musician overall, is there that one choral piece that is the dearest to your heart?
There's too many. What I find ends up being something that I go towards is a piece by Benjamin Britten called Rejoice in the Lamb, which is a fascinating piece because the text he chose by Christopher Smart, who wrote the text in an asylum. And the text makes virtually no sense. But what Benjamin Britten has done with it is really quite extraordinary.
We will definitely listen to it. Is there a special recording that you like?
Stephen Clearbury. I'll send it to you.
Please do, and we will put it on our playlist for everyone to listen to. Adam, we're at the end of our time. Thank you very much for joining us. Thank you for all the great insights. Yes, and thank you for that beautiful piece. We're going to perform it to the best of our abilities and we hope that we can do you proud.
Can't wait. I'm so excited.
And I hope that we can see you soon in person. And, well, keep making music. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Adam.
I will. Thank you, everybody. Thank you.